Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We have a great show for you today. We would love to hear from you. Please send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we're delighted to have back Father Joseph Tuscan, and today we have Jillian Kaufman from the Arch Confraternity of Christian Mothers. Now, Father is the Director General, and Jillian is the Vice President of the organization. The Arch Confraternity of Christian Mothers is a growing international movement of Catholic moms and women who encourage and equip women to grow in holiness and vocational strength. God, do we need them?
Amen.
Please go to their great website, christianmothers.org. We certainly had a great time yesterday with Father and with Colleen, and as they were sharing just about the history and the beauty of the confraternity
special
of Christian Mothers.
Special graces in their association with the Vatican in this confraternity, special indulgences and blessings and so on. And women need that. We so desperately need graces, you know, beyond the ones that we're receiving personally. And there's thousands of groups of these confraternities praying for one another. I hope they get to the book at some point, Mother Love. It has so many sections to it, such important things in terms of litanies and prayers. And there was one section in particular. It says, prayers and points of doctrine mothers should teach their children.
Yes.
Prayers and points of doctrine mothers should teach their children. How desperately we need this, you know, in our homes, and mothers handing on to their daughters the truths of the faith and what it means to be a truly feminine person in the Lord, feminine woman in the Lord, because they're being proselytized.
Yes.
You know, we always say, well, you don't proselytize. Well, people are proselytizing your kids, I can tell you that right now, and sexualizing your daughters. And you better equip yourself. Be forewarned, be forearmed, and this confraternity can help you equip your children to live the life of faith in the midst of this culture and time, and to, by God's grace, transform it.
Mm.
We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are delighted to have Father Joseph Tuscan and Jillian Kaufman. They're from the Arch Confraternity of Christian Mothers. Now, Father is the Director General, and Jillian is the Vice President of the organization. The Arch Confraternity of Christian Mothers is a beautiful, growing international movement of Catholic moms and women who encourage and equip women in the church to grow in holiness and vocational strength, no matter what your age, christianmothers.org. Mm, well, we're delighted. Jillian, you've taken Colleen's place, but Father, he's the steady Eddie here. And so, Father, we want you to tell our family, for those who may have missed the show yesterday, in a nutshell, briefly, what is the Confraternity of Christian Mothers?
In 1870, in the wake of the cultural chaos that the French Revolution created, not just in France, but in Europe, and also the restrictions on the church. So sacraments, masses were made illegal, priests weren't able to celebrate the sacraments, and people were not able to formally educate their children in the faith. A group of Catholic moms and women got together for a women's congress in 1850. So next year will be the 175th anniversary in Lille, France, north of Paris. And together came up with a program that would become the Confraternity of Christian Mothers to rebuild the culture by rebuilding the family. And by doing that, to inspire, encourage, and assist women in their roles as mothers and women. The way the women designed it was they would get together once a month and give each other parenting advice, give each other spousal advice, marital advice, and they would share information about how to instruct their children in the faith and things like that. So it was all happening in the home. And then it spread quickly all through Europe. And one of the early members in France, in Paris especially, but also in a town called Lille, in Lisieux, was a couple, Louis and Azalie, or Zélie Martin. They were the mother of the Saint Thérèse, the little flower. Mm-hmm. We know that Zélie Martin regularly attended the early meetings of the Christian Mothers. We believe that she was an early member of the Christian Mothers. And she said that the spirituality of this movement shaped her family, so shaped the little mm-hmm. flower, Saint Thérèse. The movement spread all through Europe very quickly. And it was in Germany in the early 1800s when it was started there by Kaiser Wilhelm, the Cultural Revolution, or it was called in German the Kulturkampf, which a series of measures that restricted the church and also nationalized church properties. There were a lot of anti-Catholic laws put in place. A lot of German Catholics fled Europe, came to the United States, mm-hmm. settled in different places. But among the pockets of German immigrants was the city of Pittsburgh in the borough of Lawrenceville. They settled there because the men were working in the steel mills in the mm-hmm. city of Pittsburgh. And they started St. Augustine Parish. That was the German-speaking parish in the city. And the women, the German women, started the confraternity as soon as they got on American soil. Mm-hmm. A couple of years later, in 1873, our friars came from Bavaria, from the shrine of Altötting, Germany, at the request of the Bishop of Pittsburgh, to take over the care of St. Augustine Parish, got quickly involved with the Confraternity of Christian Mothers. And then in 1881, Pope Leo XIII raised that parish to an arch-confraternity, which gave it jurisdiction to promote the movement of the Christian Mothers throughout the United States. And since that time, thousands of groups have been started all over the continental U.S. So. And also French and English Canada, where I have jurisdiction, and also Puerto Rico, the territories of Puerto Rico, and Guam and Hawaii, and also the South Marianas Islands of Tinian and Saipan. Mm-hmm. So this year, the confraternity will celebrate their 75th anniversary in Guam. Mm-hmm. I'll be there in September for their 75th anniversary celebration. And it's also in other countries. There are about seven arch-confraternities in the world still existing. The arch-confraternity in France, the center in Paris, still exists. And we're going to be doing a pilgrimage there in September mm-hmm. of 2026 with some of the women from the confraternity to visit the origins of the confraternity and go to Lisieux and also Lourdes in France, where it all began. But one of the things that happened when it founded was the Napoleonic Wars, the Crimean Wars. And a lot of the women who were in the confraternity, their sons were soldiers. Mm-hmm. And some of them, of course, would die in battle, but even the mothers would worry about their mm-hmm. sons who were soldiers. And in the church where they were, the early group of women were praying, there was a replica of Michelangelo's Pietà. Mm-hmm. And that image became the logo, and she became the patroness, mm-hmm. so the sorrowful mother. So the major feast day of the Confraternity of Christian Mothers is September 15th. Mm-hmm. They're granted indulgence by the Holy See on that day, all the confraternity members. And she is to this day the patroness of the Christian Mothers. And Jillian has a special devotion mm-hmm. to Our Lady of Sorrows. And Jillian she's our national vice president, but she's also the president of her local confraternity in Pittsburgh. And it's important to note that it is a parish that Bishop Zubik established in the Diocese of Pittsburgh to allow for Catholics who want to attend the traditional Latin Mass. Mm-hmm. And this is run by the wonderful Institute of Christ the King Priests. And they have, I think, if not the largest, one of the largest confraternities mm-hmm. of Christian Mothers in the diocese. I think we have how many members, roughly?
I want to say 125, something like
125
that.
Yeah. members mm-hmm. in their confraternity. And they're very vibrant. They do wonderful things in the parish. They have every year a mother-daughter tea that they do, and they fill the hall. Last mm-hmm. year I attended, mm-hmm. there was over 400 women and their daughters there for this beautiful event. Wonderful program. It just really creates a lot of life. They do a lot of concrete work in the parishes. Christian Mothers over the years have been the mothers of many priests mm-hmm. and religious sisters. And I would say that probably many, if not most, of the priests and even bishops that came out of the Pittsburgh area and around our country, their moms were in the Christian Mothers.
And so you know, Father, when you're sharing that, it is so beautiful because the works of the Holy Spirit are so evident, and the power of a Christian mother in a home to raise up not just daughters, but holy sons, right? Mm-hmm. And then the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you have, but somebody's got to be holy. Somebody's got to be working on it. Somebody's got to be sacrificial. Somebody's got to be laying down their life. And usually it comes, the dad is out protecting, working, making provision. And then the mom is the 24/7 visible witness to say, here am I, Lord, use me, that I would disciple, that I would train, that I would nurture, that I would serve these children. So who are the patrons of the Confraternity of Christian Mothers?
Well, as Father said, our principal patroness is Our Lady of Sorrows. And then we have patrons of the guardian angels, and then those who are close to our Lord in his childhood. So St. Joseph, of course, mm-hmm. who we love, St. Elizabeth, and St. John the Baptist, St. John the Beloved Disciple, who, of course, our Lord gave to the Mother of Sorrows at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. So he represents all of us. He was the first son of Our Lady of Sorrows. And then we have some patrons of children, St. Aloysius, St. Anthony, St. Augustine. We all pray our children end up like Augustine, even if mm-hmm. they don't necessarily start out like St. Augustine, then St. Monica and St. Rose of Lima, who's the patroness of the Americas. She's special to our confraternity. Mm-hmm. But of course, our principal patroness is Our Lady of Sorrows. Yeah.
Speak to us about Our Lady of Sorrows. Why her sorrows? Doesn't sound all that happy,
yeah.
you know, for the moms there. But there is also, as John Paul II said, there's the good news of suffering.
Certainly.
A little confusing there, but how does she relate to the women to her? As Our Lady of Sorrows.
Yeah, so as I said, at the foot of the cross, she became our mother there, and her childbirth with our Lord was without pain, as we know, but her birth of the rest of us, you know, she had seven swords of sorrow pierced her heart through the life of our Lord, through his infancy and his ministry, and then at his death. So she became our mother in great suffering, and we can relate to her because you never have a child without suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, well, we'll take away your suffering in childbirth by putting this giant needle in your spine. That'll be better. You know, or an adoption, which starts with a great wound and a great death. So there's never a way to become a mother that doesn't hurt, that isn't a death. So we understand that at the beginning, and then all through the children's lives, we're the ones who, you know, I won't finish my plate so you can have more. I'll say no to my, you know, monetary desire so I can purchase for you. And so Our Lady of Sorrows, I think it's important for women to know, to never be afraid of her, because it's not inviting more sorrow. We don't put the crucifix on the wall because we desire to suffer. The sufferings are coming. Mm-hmm. You know, there's suffering in every life. It's not like those who reject the cross don't suffer. It's just, does your suffering have meaning? Does your suffering have a purpose? Can you suffer well? So Our Lady of Sorrows is a special patroness to us because she understands our suffering, and we want to honor her suffering as well because she did all of it out of love. So as a mother, you don't suffer in begrudgingness and kind of resentment. You know, you want to suffer out of love. Yeah, take my heart. Mm-hmm. My heart's yours. I would love for you to take my heart as a mother. You know how that is. Mm-hmm. You want to give it to your children. And she is such a wonderful model of that. She's such a dear friend in all of our sufferings.
Yeah. We had a guest at some time back, and she was mentioning, you know, picking a career in this and that, very bright woman. And she just, you know, really felt like motherhood was that calling. And she said, you know, she talked about where else does one get to give, as the Lord gave his body and blood, his water, to somebody else. Guys don't do that. I mean, in terms of pregnancy and the whole deal.
Certainly.
And so you're going to have suffering, and it's going to conceive life. Speak to us about what makes for a successful chapter, because you're having some success, you know, with your chapter, sure many others are. What's taking place there, that it's winsome, that people are coming? Mm-hmm. You're encouraging one another, but you're echoing the teaching of the church. The book is filled with the essence of the teaching of the church in it. What makes for a successful group chapter?
So whenever Father came to the parish to establish the confraternity, and my dear friend and I, Stephanie, got together to try to help establish it, and we just, you know, put it out to the parish, and women showed up in droves because they just were dying for help. They were doing well in their families, you know, but they were really, really excited about the concept. So really pious women came to us. But I think that if you want a formula, I would say that it's to stay close to the mission of prayer for the children and not to get too bogged down in other occupations. You know, I'm from Pittsburgh. We have pierogi ladies. Mm-hmm. I don't know, probably cookie ladies here. But you never want to just become the pierogi ladies, mm-hmm. because that's how the mission dies. Mm-hmm. And then you can make pierogies all you want, but you won't be the Christian mothers anymore. Mm-hmm. And so our director of our local chapter is really wonderful about keeping us not getting distracted, you know. Because as a mother, there's lots of things that we do, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you said, a lot of the women are in the home all the time. Many are not. But, you know, you cook, you clean, and do all these things. You can outsource all of those material things. Mm-hmm. And you would still be a wonderful mother if you pay someone to clean your house. But what you can't outsource is your direction, your mm-hmm. guidance, and your prayer for your children, and your love for your children. Mm-hmm. So what's really at the heart of motherhood, it's those things. And that's what we want to emphasize. So we keep praying for the children, praying for one another, staying close to that mission. Every meeting has to have prayer. There's never a confraternity meeting that we get together and don't pray. Even if we have a tea coming up, even if we have some mm-hmm. other event, we always start and end with prayer. We always focus on prayer. We stay close to Our Lady of Sorrows. And really, even if you just read the gospel every meeting, you would never run out of material. Mm-hmm. If you just prayed your prayers, you'd never run out of material. Just staying close to those basics, staying close to the foot of the cross. It's a lifetime of meditation, really.
Well, the beautiful thing for moms, young moms especially, you're starving for fellowship. You like want to have an adult conversation. It's like, I can't read one more, you know, I would go crazy with some of the stories, and they would say, do the voices, and you're like, I don't want to do the voices, I'm so tired. You know, but you need adult fellowship. You need other people who are in the trenches where you are to get you, so you don't have to like apologize for what you're doing or defend what you're doing. It's like, we know where you are, and there's the beautiful thing about the group is you don't have to reinvent anything. You have to stay on task with the mission that it is and not escape a mission. Yeah. And when we do get off track, we need to come back to the mission. Mm-hmm. I think that's where all groups go awry. It's like another person comes in, it's like, well, let's do this. And then you're like, no, that's another group. That's the pierogi lady. I don't want to be her. Yeah. I need to be this holy mother. This is where my formation is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so women who come in, or you're out there and you're watching, you go, I don't have this in my area, and I want this in my diocese, I want this in my parish. They just need to go to your website, and it's all gonna be provided, right? Everything is provided, so there's nothing that needs to be reinvented.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a break at this point and hold you over for the final segment. And I know that you both have a lot to say, it's just so important. So we'll be right back, there's plenty more to come. Please don't go away. I was thinking as we were sharing, you know, when we... Welcome back. Speaking about the confraternity of Catholic Christian mothers. So various people, various women in this group, how do grandmothers fit into this? What do they bring to it? Are they welcome into the group?
Grandmothers are some of our favorite Christian mothers. Whenever I first had my children, I remember, you know, you go to the mommy and me group and the toddler time and the kind of learn to nurse and stuff like this. And there's all these other women in the very same state of life. And I've made some wonderful friends from that time of my life, some of my dearest friends. But you're all sort of making it up as you go along. Mm-hmm. And I remember reaching a point where I thought, I really need some input from women who have already done this, that the proof is in the pudding and they've raised mm-hmm. good children. And there's a peace about grandmothers. You know, there's a confidence and a wisdom that as a, I don't know if I'm a younger mother anymore, but younger than a grandmother, mm-hmm. certainly, still having babies, that I really value and am attracted to. You know, so the grandmothers are so esteemed. They're so very welcome. And I hope that if there's grandmothers watching this, that they'll, you know, join or rejoin, or some confraternities, there's, you know, they're defunct at a parish and it's time to revive them. Mm-hmm. You might go to your pastor and he'll say, we already have a charter of Christian mothers. It's just been abandoned, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, grandmothers are very, very valuable. You know, that continuity from previous generations. When you're sitting there with your baby and saying, what do I do? Well, you ask a woman who mm-hmm. already knows, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So we really cherish the women of all states in life, absolutely. Yeah.
Father, share with us, we were speaking kind of in between segments here, because you trace the history of the confraternity, and a lot of it was birthed out of, you know, kind of persecution, attacks upon the church, the people of God, the family. And, you know, I was going to say to you at the end of that, you know, well, so much has changed, but sometimes nothing has changed. We're almost in a situation like that on this continent and the other places where you are. We just have about 3 minutes left or so, but just speak a word to our viewers, our family here today, why this is so important, why people need to engage this, how it benefits the church as well as the ladies, why it's for now.
If you think about the one institution in our culture today that's under attack, what would you say?
Family.
And if you could sort of zero that in of a member of the family that is the primary point of that cultural attack.
Moms.
It's mm-hmm. the women. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a situation where, you know, we had a U.S. Supreme Court candidate who in her hearings refused to define a woman. and the cultural forces that were that forced that situation are exactly the problem. Mm. Yeah. You know, we have girls that are losing their scholarships. They're told that they have to be in locker rooms with physically intact males, and that they have a problem with that, then they need to see a psychologist. When a culture devolves, the family is the primary point of the attack to kind of redefine it. You know, it's interesting that the word matrimony, matrimonium in Latin, is the word, it's two parts, mater, mother. Mm. Monium means in Latin the state in which a woman becomes a mother. Mm. So marriage is defined by a woman who is able to become mother, mm. right? That is the definition of marriage. Okay, you can't redefine it. The word defines it.
Matrimony.
Okay, mm-hmm. But you know, it's interesting that you're right. The more things change, the more they stay the same. But you know, the transformation of the culture. If there's any hope for the culture, it's in the family. And what is a parish except a collection of families? Mm-hmm. And so goes as the family goes, so goes the parish, so goes the culture. And I would say it also impacts the vocations, because religious and clergy don't reproduce ourselves.
Right.
We come out of families, mm. Yeah. And so even the gifts of the sacraments that are given to the church through priests come from a mother, mm-hmm. just like our Lord himself came from a mother, right? And so, you know, everything depends on this.
Yes.
And if there's any hope for the culture, it's in the church. If there's any hope for the church, it's in the family. Mm. And the heart of the family is yes. the mother.
Father, please close Thank us you. In a blessing to cover this entire time and the vision of the church for the family.
Mm. Most high and glorious and good God, we thank you for the gift of this time, and we ask your blessing upon all of our mothers, grandmothers and godmothers and religious mothers and spiritual mothers, physical mothers, adoptive mothers. We thank you for the gift of motherhood and for their gifts to us. We ask your blessing upon our families. Strengthen us, and in a special way, strengthen the work and the apostolates of Jim and Joy. We thank you for the gift of their faith and their ministry. We ask your blessing upon them and all of our viewers, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
God
you.
Bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.